You're listening to Straight No Chaser on Dogs by Nature Radio.
Yeah, I think it's a good team. Well coached, good players across the board. Having watched it this morning and diving into the scheme, I think it's really sound on all three sides of the ball. So it's going to be a big challenge for us.
Now here's your host, my dude, Thelonious Seven.
My Dogs by Nature family, I hope this transmission finds you well. My name is Thelonious Seven, and you're listening to The Opposition's Position on Dogs by Nature Radio. It's been a long and glorious week basking in that Steelers victory in primetime, but now we turn the page to week four and an intriguing matchup between your Cleveland Browns and the Falcons in Hotlanta, Georgia. Well, to help us get ready for this contest, we're joined by Aaron Freeman, the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast.
So this is Aaron Freeman, host of Locked On Falcons, which you can find free and available Monday through Friday on a variety of podcast platforms, including on YouTube.
Aaron, it's great to hear from you. Thank you for taking your time to share with us here on Dogs by Nature Radio. For the record, Aaron can be found at FalcFans on Twitter. So with the pleasantries aside, let's get into it. So Aaron, congratulations on picking up your first win of the post-Ryan era. How do you feel like Mariota has done in his first three outings? How long do you think he can keep Ritter on the bench?
The Falcons get their first win in week three against the Seahawks, and it was probably Mariota's best game to date. But you still consider it kind of the typical up and down performance that we've seen quite a bit so far through three games this season from Marcus Mariota. He's been serviceable, I think is a fair way to put it. His mobility and his athleticism have been an asset for the Falcons offense with their run first attack. As a passer, it's just been a little bit hit and miss, and certainly coming off, you know, 14 years of Matt Ryan, we've kind of grown accustomed to a little bit more consistency from a passer at this rate, but we'll see if Marcus Mariota can kind of work off some of this two-year rust and see how much better he gets over the next couple of games. As far as him holding off the Desmond Ridder, you know, it's been long predicted by myself and a lot of other people that Ridder will probably see action at some point this season once the Falcons are firmly out of playoff contention, sort of officially out of playoff contention, or at least being close to mathematically eliminated. And that's kind of been expected to be around the month of November. And that's probably still on track to be the case with Mariota getting this much needed win. That should certainly buy him probably another month as the starter. But beyond that, if the Falcons can't start racking up more wins over the next month in the month of October, then I do think at some point in November we will see Desmond Ridder when the Falcons schedule gets a little bit softer.
Definitely interested in seeing Ridder get some live action. Hopefully we can do our part to keep you out of playoff contention. Might be easier said than done. Watching your offense, it's clear to see that you have two of the best young pass catchers in the league. How good have Pitts and Drake been in the early part of this campaign?
Now, London and Pitts have been, you know, two very good assets for the Falcons in their passing game, and certainly are the two guys that when you're game planning against the Falcons, you're going to devote a considerable amount of time. Obviously, a lot has been made over the last couple of weeks with Kyle Pitts not putting up this sort of production, certainly that I think a lot of fantasy prognosticators were hoping to see, and certainly a very vocal set of Falcon fans. I feel like a lot of that has been a much ado about nothing. You know, I think he did have some pretty quiet games in the first two games, but I figured, you know, eventually things would bounce back, and we saw that on Sunday with a really big performance from him. Obviously, the Falcons made a concerted effort to sort of feed him and manufacture him some targets early in the game, and I think that allowed him to get going in the game, and we'll see if they continue that as the rest of the season progresses. Drake London has lived up to everything we wanted him to be as the the top wide receiver drafted in this 2022 draft class. He's really been a great fit in that X wide receiver role and has been valuable not only between the 20s, but also in the red zone over these first 3 weeks, and has sort of slowly emerged as the team's number one and go-to receiver. Although I think a lot of people expected Kyle Pitts to be that guy, but I think, you know, having a 1A and 1B sort of caliber receiver for this team moving forward is certainly a strength and an asset rather than a weakness.
The other player that came up huge for you was Cordarrelle Patterson. Has his emergence been a surprise to you?
As for Cordarrelle Patterson's emergence, you know, I wouldn't say it's a huge surprise given that he did play pretty well last year. I guess you could probably say that his emergence last year as this sort of dual threat asset, not only as a runner and receiver, in addition to his, you know, very well-known kickoff return abilities, was a surprise a year ago. And certainly I would probably say if you had told me a month ago that Cordarrelle Patterson would have two of his best, you know, most productive games in the first 3 weeks of the season, I probably wouldn't have believed you. So I think from that standpoint, him having 120 yards in week one against the Saints and then coming off 140 plus yards this past weekend against the Seattle Seahawks, certainly, you know, do fit the description of a surprise. But Patterson has always been, you know, a hard running player. Last year, his season was kind of cut short by injuries, and he's sort of picking up where he probably thought he could have been and left off last year, and running very hard and being, you know, probably the most reliable asset within the Falcons offense, as they are basically a run first team. And when he's running well and running hard, this offense works. And when he's not, then this offense tends to struggle a little bit more. And we've seen that play out these first three games.
It was nice to see your defense seal that contest with a huge pick. How do you think Coach Pease has done with this group, and who are some of the playmakers we should look out for on Sunday?
Now, as far as the defense, it's not been great for these first three games, but they did come through late in the Seahawks game to make the plays, getting some pressure, creating some turnovers at the end of the game to sort of seal the Falcons' victory. As for Coach Pease, the Falcons' defensive coordinator, he's done a solid job. Expectations are generally low when it comes to defense in Atlanta because it's been so long since the team has really had good defenses. You had to go really back to, you know, there was a moment in the Dan Quinn era. There was a couple of moments early in the Mike Smith era, basically a decade ago, but for the last decade, it's been below average to bad defenses. And because of that, Dean Pease is probably not expected to be a miracle worker. And certainly, this Falcons defense still looks like a bad defense, but they're slowly making progress, and we're being patient in terms of what he can build for this group. As for the playmakers, Grady Jarrett's the one guy that you have to stop. He's off to a really good start this year, even if it's not shown on the box score. He's constantly getting double teamed and forcing teams to have to double team him, because if you do put him on an island against a subpar interior lineman, he is going to work over that guy. AJ Terrell had a rough start to the season, but really came through on Sunday against Seattle, going up against DK Metcalf and ending that game with three pass breakups. And those are the two main playmakers, but you have some young emerging players. Michael Walker, their third year player, his first year as a starter at linebacker, has been slowly coming on. Casey Hayward's a solid veteran opposite AJ Terrell. Richie Grant had the game sealing interception against the Seahawks, and he's been a solid playmaker for them. So those are some of the names that you got to keep an eye on for the Falcons, but obviously they're still very much a work in progress, and we're looking forward to the next couple of off seasons where the Falcons can supplement, you know, the presences of players like Grady Jarrett and AJ Terrell with a little bit more talent.
Our guest has been Aaron Freeman, the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast. Aaron, before you go, do you mind putting on your prognosticator's hat? What do you see as the major storylines in this game? What are the keys to victory? Who wins, and what's the final score?
So I think the major storyline for the Falcons is going to be whether or not they can build off of last week's success in the getting their first win. Can they extend that to just sort of one isolated win against an inferior opponent in Seattle and, you know, rise up, as it were, against a tougher team, against the Browns? I think the biggest key for the Falcons, they're going to have to find a way to slow down the Browns running attack, which obviously very few teams have had success doing so far this year, evidenced by the fact that the Browns are the number one rushing attack in the NFL. while. We've known that's going to be sort of the calling card of this Browns offense under Kevin Stefanski, and especially with Jacoby Brissett sort of as their interim starter. They're not going to necessarily ask him to go out there and win with his arm. And so I think the Falcons, if they can slow down this Browns attack, they can get pressure, put pressure on that offense to have to abandon the run by being able to score points offensively, which certainly will not be easy against a decent Browns defense. Although, you know, I do wonder if a lot of people thought this defense would be maybe a little bit better than what they thought. But if the Falcons can get off to a fast start in this game and get out to an early lead, that may force the Browns to have to abandon the run, because I don't know if they can just simply line up and stop this Browns rushing attack. So that, I think, will be sort of two keys to victory. As for a final score prediction, I went into the season feeling confident that the Falcons might be able to get a win this week. So far, my preseason predictions have been accurate with, you know, the team starting 0-2 and then winning in week three against the Seahawks, but I may go a little bit off script this week given some of the challenges the Browns will face. I do think it's going to be a close one. I would probably put the score something like a 24-23, something in along those lines, with a Browns walking away from a victory on the road against the Atlanta Falcons. So we'll see if that winds up being true, or I go back to my original preseason prediction of expecting the Falcons to win sort of another close, hard-fought battle.
Aaron, appreciate you taking your time to share with us here on Dogs by Nature Radio. Before you get out of here, do you have any final thoughts for us?
But as far as final thoughts go, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting matchup between these two teams that want to be physical. Obviously, the Browns have established themselves over the last couple of years under Kevin Stefanski of being that type of team. The Falcons are trying to build a similar identity on offense and trying to build those things on defense. So it'll be eager to sort of use the Browns as a litmus test and a measuring stick to see sort of how far they've come in this Arthur Smith era.
I think it's going to be a sneaky, fantastic game. I can hardly wait for Sunday. Well, once again, our guest has been Aaron Freeman of the Locked On Falcons podcast.
So that is it for me, Aaron Freeman. You can find me on Twitter being snarky about the Falcons at FalcFans. That's FalcFans. And of course, you can find me Monday through Friday on the Locked On Falcons podcast on a variety of podcast platforms, including YouTube. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Really appreciate it, Aaron. Well, that was your dose of the straight truth. You've been listening to The Opposition's Position on Dogs by Nature Radio. Once again, I'm your host, Thelonious7. Take care and go Browns.